If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
It's like, yeah, that's a f-ing point of the goddamn game. Like, it's whatever you assume, whatever you're thinking, the worst things that you're thinking, that's the point. There's a reason. There's a reason for everything I'm doing. I'm thinking about everything. But I absolutely hate, you know, discussing the meaning of my poetry. So I'm not going to like lecture people on why.
Hello and welcome to Lightmap from Sifter, our video game industry interview show. I'm Naomi Jackson. Edmund McMillan has always been my dream interview guest, and he is here to talk about freaky cats in his new game. Let's
Hi, I'm Kyle Coletto.
And I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
And here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, 22nd of February.
Xbox bosses are retired, with Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond gone from Microsoft.
Crazy RAM prices are making every piece of gaming hardware harder to get, including the Steam Deck and ROG Ally X.
Pokemon FireRed and Leaf Green re-release on Switch ahead of the Pokemon 30th anniversary.
Plus, all the games releasing this week you can look forward to.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website sifter.com.au every Sunday.
Bump into it.
He's incredibly dehydrated. He has depression.
He created my favorite game that I've been playing for over half my life, but will probably never finish, The Binding of Isaac. And now he's back with an even bigger game called Mugenix. Welcome, Edmund McMillan.
Thank you for having me here. That's a crazy, crazy bit. Yeah, it's been a while, huh? It's been 15 years since that game came out, so.
It's been great, and I don't think I want to finish it because I just enjoy the replayability.
When you finish one save, there's two more saves.
Exactly. So. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me. It's not that often that someone gets to launch a game. Like, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling pretty good. Part of me wishes it would go a little faster.
Yeah.
But it's really I'm in a very comfortable place where in the past, every game I've ever launched, I've been in heavy development until literally the last minute of before launch and scrambling around. And it's not like that with this, where the game's been basically finished for the last month. And we're just polishing where we can, which doesn't involve me outside of telling, you know, people like maybe we could use some more sound effects here. Or this cutscene could be a little bit more polished since we have time. And then on my end, I'm just doing stuff like this and trying to come up with fun stuff to have fans do before launch to like win some stuff.
Oh, yeah. Can you give us any teasers of what those are going to be?
Sure. Yeah. I just started writing them. There's 14 things for the last 14 days. One of my favorites is embarrass yourself in public by acting like a cat. Record yourself, have somebody record you.
That'll be great.
Stuff like that. There's like dressing up like a cat. There's a few illustration contests. There's a meowing contest. There's just some random ones where like if you share stuff, I'll choose somebody at random just so everybody gets a chance, because I always get people complaining that I'm not creative. Well, you can click a button, I guess, so it'll give you some chance.
Giving everyone a shot. I can't wait to see what people make for that.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Mugenix, such a great pun. Like, did the pun come before the game, or did the game create it out of the pun?
No, Tommy, the guy I made Meat Boy with, and my wife both like made the joke at the same time, because originally it was called A Thousand Cats.
A Thousand Cats.
Yeah, it was. There was some game jam which I think the theme was 1,000X. So it was like 1,000 something, or maybe even 100 something. I can't remember. Some large number something. So it was just like a large number of something. And I said I wanted to do like a cat breeding, hoarding simulator toy. And we built that out in like a few days in Flash and had the basic, you know, pieces and the stuff that we build off of now, where it's like the how you generate the cats and stuff. And we had the house and some furniture and cats roaming around the house. And that was basically it. And I liked it a lot. And I really wanted to keep moving with it. And we needed a name. And we were trying to think of cat puns that were tied to breeding. And yeah, both my wife and Tommy were like, I think they said it almost at the same time.
That's great.
It was not my idea, but it's great. It's a great pun for this.
This has been a long time in the making too. Like, people praise Hollow Knight Silksong for taking 7 years to develop this game. Yeah. It's kind of had the same timeline. Like, how has it felt spending so long on a game?
Not that long. Like, it feels like, so the game concept came out like 13 years ago, like forever ago. And the funny thing was Isaac was supposed to be like dipping my toe in the water for roguelikes so I could work on this game. It got canceled like almost 2 years in development and then put down for quite a long time. And I've been working on it with Tyler and the team for 6 years, and it doesn't feel like 6 years. And I know logically it is, because I can track it back to before when my second daughter was born. She's only known me as guy making eugenics in his office. So it does seem like a long time. It's a lot, like a lifetime for her. And, but for me, it's gone fast. I mean, I definitely want to put it out and have it done, but I'm not like gung ho about putting it down. I foresee myself working on this for quite a while after the fact.
Was there any like stuff that you couldn't put in this game that you would kind of see yourself maybe creating in the future for like DLC or anything like
that?
Oh,
yeah.
Like an idea that you had?
The whole game, even more so than Isaac, is set up where more stuff does equal more fun and more depth. I think about 2 years ago, we started to make a DLC tab in our design doc, which is like a Google Doc where we write stuff down. And we had to like lock it and say, okay, no more new features, no more new this, 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 and this. In order to get this game done in time, we need to make this tab and just put our ideas in there. So yeah, no, there's like two DLCs worth of content that I would like to do, I'd say. I think I'd like to do a small one first, and then maybe we can jump on something much larger and substantial. But it's all about, you know, if people really like it and how they play it. And, you know, we had like 50 testers over the years, and we have quite a lot of people playing the game now. And it's interesting to see how everybody plays the game, and everybody plays the game differently and enjoys it for different things. And I kind of want to make sure that I'm covering all of our bases when it comes to the different types of players and how they like to play. So it's not just catering to, you know, chess players who want this really rigid formula that's extremely challenging. You know, I want everybody to be able to get into this.
Yeah, I will say, like, I'm loving the game so far. I'm trying to keep my questions spoiler free because I found it really interesting going in and just not knowing anything and just being surprised by like the developments in the game.
Yeah.
Let's unpack Mugenics for like people who haven't played Mugenics yet. What can they expect?
You can expect a unique experience that's not really like anything else.
I can agree.
I mean,
with that.
I think it's the best way to sell it. Like, if I try to say it's like something, it's really not. Like, I could say it's like XCOM, but I don't think that people who like XCOM or would gravitate towards a game like that would necessarily like this, and vice versa. So it's hard to say. I think like my go-to still is like, it's like D&D with cats.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the best way to kind of sell it without wrapping it up too, framing it too harshly into this little box. But really, it's a unique experience. It's a world. And I'm really, really happy with it. And I think anybody who likes anything that I've done and who likes interesting, unique art will dig it.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how it's received, because it's like quite a different play style from your other games as well. Like you were saying, mm-hmm. that Binding of Isaac was your first roguelike. Like, how is it getting into making a turn-based game?
I kind of always wanted, like, for quite a while, I had all these designs for a turn-based Isaac, and I thought that Isaac 2 would be a turn-based, more traditional roguelike, because I thought that that would be more interesting to explore. And I've always wanted to make a game like this. I've always liked this genre, and I've played a lot of games that are tactical turn-based strategy games. I knew it was going to happen one day, but it's to make a really good, deep version of a tactical strategy game like this takes a lot of time and a lot of content. So I was never really eager to be like, 6-year project, let's do it, you know? Especially after, like, I just was finishing up Bumba, which was like a 4-year project.
Yep.
And I wasn't a fan of that. And, but no, it was good. It was always fun. It was fun throughout, which was nice. But it's definitely different. I mean, all my stuff is different though. Like, I think the only two games I've made that are similar are The End Is Nigh and Super Meat Boy. But all my past games are vastly different. I just get bored with genres quickly, and you know, I have ADHD. I'm constantly moving to the next thing, and I'm consuming it. And right now, in the past couple of years, that thing has been board games and D&D. And of course, that's going to bleed through in my work.
That was my next question, actually. Like, have you taken inspiration from any of the board games that you play?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's funny. There's a lot of really loose story and character pieces that have come from some of the campaigns that I've run D&D wise. I ran quite a few over the years with my family and friends, and a lot of the themes have bled in, because all the stuff that worked when I wrote it for a campaign, I think would work really well in this, and I just kind of want to retell it. And so there's a lot of themes from those sessions. I played a lot of DCC, which is Dungeon Crawl Classics and Mutant Crawl Classics. I really like how they do stuff, and I pulled a lot of the tables that you see in the events in Mugenics are kind of similar to that, where there's like a lot of just random rolls with different attributes.
Oh, okay.
Played a lot of this game called Kingdom Death Monster, which has some similarities too, which I really like. I really like the narrative in that. Random bits and pieces from Blood Bowl and Warhammer, and there's a shit ton of Magic the Gathering. I'd say the core of the game is Magic the Gathering. Outside of that, I mean, we play a lot of games. We play a lot of board games, and I think little bits and pieces of all of them have bled into this.
And was there a particular mechanic in the game that took a lot of fine tuning?
The only thing that took fine tuning in this game is UI. So it's like, Because with me and Tyler, like, we'll do something. We'll be like, does that make sense to you? And yeah, it makes sense to me. All right, put it out there. And then people will play and have no fucking clue what that is, and like not understand the icon, and not, you know, and it's just like, okay, that's not going to work. Let's try it like this. So the most changes that we made, you know, and it was important to do so, it were just from testing with people and realizing that our UI and just general information on the screen wasn't drawing the eye, wasn't conveying the messages we wanted to convey, weren't, you know, we spent a lot of time in the tutorial and the UI. Those got the most revisions. I'd say everything else, it took a little while to find out what made bosses fun, and we figured that out, and that kind of just flowed.
I find the bosses very fun. Can I ask, like, what you think makes the bosses fun, or is that too, like,
no,
hard
yeah,
to narrow down?
I like making bosses that are stupid. I'm a fan. You can usually tell my designs if a boss is blind or has a major flaw or can be baited easily. Those are my designs. Tyler leans a little bit more into like the more, I want to say mathematical, but more puzzle-y type stuff. But he's good at everything too. Like, one of the first bosses that was really satisfying was Chubbs and Nubs, and those are these dogs that don't have heads that live in the junkyard, and they have their basic logic is they're blind. So they just kind of move around, but they take up a lot of space and they do spin attacks and splash attacks. So they hit a lot of area and you just kind of want to stay away from them. But the chaos in the fact that they're blind is really exciting because you can get wins off of just being like, ah, oh, you idiot, you just walked away from me and hit the ground. But then they have another key aspect, which is whenever they're hit, wherever they're facing, they'll shoot something. And one of them will shoot it straight and it's really gnarly and it'll poison. And then the other one will do this lob shot, which will create this like creep pool on the ground, which makes a hazard, which will affect its brother. So like if it puts a creep on the ground and then the other one walks into it, it'll take damage and then spit. The chaos keeps building as it progresses. And then when one of them dies, the other one will change because it will become upset by the fact that it's, you know, sibling was killed. And I knew going in, I won't even talk about that one, but there's a really fun design to them that was obvious from the beginning that we knew almost everybody who plays, when they do that thing with them, they go, oh my God, I did this thing. And then they'll post a video or whatever else. So there's a lot of that. It's like the bosses that can do multiple things that you can come at in multiple ways also feel like they're a living thing and not just like a video game.
It would be so great to see those reactions. Like, do you ever watch content creators playing?
Oh yeah, and I will be. Yeah, me and Tyler at launch will just be watching. Like, it's the review Discord has been fun because we get to see almost that, you know, no one's posting videos, but we get an idea of where they're at and sometimes they'll comment on different things, which is really, really fun. I cannot wait to just watch people get through because I know me and Tyler are going to be like, oh, got to tab over to this person. They're now fighting this thing or they just got this random rare thing that happened to them. There's just so much of that. And it's crazy. Again, we've tested with 50 plus people over a couple years, and a lot of these people have 500 plus hours in this game. So they've seen everything, but they haven't. And we think we've seen everything, but we haven't. And then somebody will post something in the Discord. I can't spoil it, but
yeah.
Some crazy stuff that we didn't even realize would happen, but of course would happen. And that's really cool.
There are a bunch of items in this game. Like, is there a number? Do you have a number of how many items are in this game, or have you just stopped counting?
I stopped counting at 950, but I think there are more, but they're not 1,000, because I would say that if there were. 950, more than Isaac. And that was, I think, the goal going in. We thought we should get at least close to that number, which I think is 700, as possible. And at the end of development, Tyler was like, if you want any more items added, you got to add them yourself. And I was like, all right, I got to figure this out. And Tyler's scripting stuff is really, really easy to use. So I was able to hodgepodge a shitload more items together. And then the really specific ones that required actual programming. I actually got Vin, who co-created Repentance with me. Vin came in and implemented those. So he's been working on some of the harder, more unique items in the game.
If you had to say like how many references are in this game as well, like my partner and I love finding all the references in the different items.
Oh, I mean, they all have reference. They all have some meaning to something to me, or I wouldn't be just putting them out there.
That makes sense.
It's impossible to. I mean, one of these days, like I've been waiting for a situation where someone could just, I could go live and someone can just say, what is this Anarchist Cookbook about? And then I could be like, oh, Anarchist Cookbook's, you know, this, and this, because everything's got a story, but it's impossible for me to just pull something off the top of my head and talk about it. You know what I mean? But everything means something.
Well, this is going to be a hard question then, but I was going to ask next, like, what item is your favorite, if you have one?
In Mugenics, what item is my favorite? That's so hard.
Yeah.
We're going through right now, so there's a new trailer that's being edited right now. It's already been filmed. and it's going to be coming out next week, I think, the 25th. And it's going to have gameplay footage, and it's kind of a features one where it's like, you know, 950 items, right? And then we've got to show a few cool items. And I'm kind of like racking my brain being like, what are the coolest, spiciest items that I could show? And then like asking a bunch of people in the test Discord, and everybody just shoots out like 50 different things that I don't even remember exist. It's very hard. It's hard to like pick them when there's so many of them. But the standout item, and it is a side quest item. Did you ever do a side quest called The Loner?
I haven't done that side quest yet, no.
Okay, that's the one. Okay. It's more funny than it's there's a lot of really funny quests, and The Loner is very funny and harsh and horrible, but I like that item. And the cool thing too is like you can actually like get quest items and hold on to them and use them not for quests if you really want.
I know that there are a bunch of like mental disorders in the game, like depression and ADHD and stuff like that. Did you have to study like medical stuff for that?
I think I knew all of the ones I put in. I'm trying to think of like anything obscure that I, because I did definitely like want to go down and cover. I covered all the basic bases, and then I wanted to get into the more obscure ones.
Yeah.
I think there was a point where I just looked up like top 20 most rare diseases or something, made sure that there was like some, all the legendary stuff was kind of in there. Disorders were really, really fun to design. I really liked them. Somebody got Schrodinger's cat. It's a disorder that either your cat is dead or alive. But there's good stuff. If you're alive, there's good things. But you know, it's a really harsh one. But you can build around it. There are ways. There are certain classes like the necromancer that like to die. So maybe that's fine.
Would you say that that's your favorite like disorder that you've put in the game?
Schrodinger's cat. No. What's my favorite? I mean, my favorite disorder is autism. I just think it's a very good disorder, and it is well designed. I think it's very true to form. I would pick ADHD, but it's so annoying. He literally gives you a few seconds to act. It's good, but you've got to really double down and be paying attention the whole time, because if not, your cat's getting distracted and doing things that you don't want it to do.
Yeah.
I like depression. I think depression's a really strong one that works really well. And the design for that is that you're depressed, so all your stats are down, but everyone around you is also depressed and their stats goes down. And you could literally just have a depressed cat. I've had two depressed cats stand on either side of a boss and just reduce its total HP by a giant amount, and then just hit a few times with a fighter, and then they're done. Like, there's just really fun designs with a lot of those, but I don't know. Even like schizophrenia is like, I think I revealed that one recently online, and people were upset because it could spoil late game things, but I thought, how cool is that? Basically what it does is it makes a hallucination, and it could be anything in the game, including extremely rare stray cats or late game enemies or whatever else. They just appear. And they have madness, so they can fight for you or against you, essentially. And we get some crazy ones where people are taking screenshots and be like, what the fuck is this? And it's like, well, I'm not going to tell you, but eventually you'll find out. But those are really fun.
As well as all of the items and stuff, you also have like cameo meows in the game. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there any that you're really excited about that you're kind of able to share? I know a lot of them are kind of a surprise.
Yeah, sure. I did a soft spoil last night, and I can always confirm it. But Rivers Cuomo from Weezer is one of the cats.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a really big one. I've got a lot of my personal heroes in there. A friend of mine, who some people know online, his name is Tonetta. He did a meow. Lloyd Kaufman, who created the Toxic Avenger, and he did a meow. There are, you know, 150 cameos. They're not all people that you guys know, but they're all people I know. And And some of the coolest ones are the ones that are, you'd never, like my youngest minnow, she has one of the better meows in the game, and she's this really teeny high pitch meow that's very iconic. And then my daughter Peach has a meow where she has two meows, but she has one where she talks, and when she dies she says stuff like, I need a cough drop, which is great. But yeah, there's a bunch of like regular meows in the game. A lot of people just sound like cats completely. And then there's rare ones and ultra rare ones. And the more rare ones are like the ones where they're actually speaking English or Spanish or whatever. But those are always fun when they appear.
You worked with a composer for this one, I believe.
Yeah, same guy, same team, Ridiculon, John Evans and Matthias Bossi. Tremendous. It's a tremendous soundtrack.
What's the title of your favorite track?
My favorite tracks are late game. I do think that they got even better, and I also became like more anal about the quality and having to like one up all the previous ones. So, man, there's a song called Get in the Cage. I really like that one. Early game Flush. I mean, that's a classic Flush. The Guillotina track and the Graveyard track. They're all really good.
Definitely.
I don't know if you've seen any of the Act Two.
Yeah, House I'm in Act Two right now. Okay. Yeah.
Has anything from inside the earth come to your house?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That track is really fun, which is a Japanese track.
You have said that this is the best game you've ever made. Why do you think that?
I think it's the culmination of everything that I've ever worked on. Like, I just think it's like for a long time with, you know, between making Isaac, like I did Meat Boy and then Isaac right afterwards. And then I worked on Isaac for forever, for like 15 years. And in that amount of time, I released board games and card games and whatever else. And I made The End Is Nigh and Bumbo. The End Is Nigh is good. I really like The End Is Nigh. But this is more of me like proving my worth and being like, no, like I understand everybody likes Binding of Isaac, but I can do better than that. And here is how. This isn't just me and Tyler. This is a large group of people who are mostly all fans of mine, who know my work, who want to do it justice and do it justice, you know, better animators than I ever was and ever will be. And a lot of really amazing illustrators who I hired because they were doing fan artwork of Binding of Isaac or Super Meat Boy or whatever else. And I just wanted to work with them. And so it's just kind of this collective of really cool, self-motivated artists. And I think it's just in every way better than anything I've ever done. And I'm not, that doesn't mean it's going to translate to sales. You know what I mean? Like I understand, like the Binding of Isaac is, it's crazy. The success of the Binding of Isaac, especially a game like that, has had, and it is selling more now than it has ever sold, which is unheard of. You know, it's one of those games like Minecraft or Terraria or whatever that seem to continuously stay alive for a really long time for whatever reason. And that is an honor and awesome and makes me happy every time I see somebody who's never played the game before playing it for the first time. That's crazy. So I don't expect this game to have that. But I do think that people who really enjoy Isaac will really enjoy this. And I think they just don't, if they're hesitant, it's simply because they don't realize what this is yet. And because it's hard to explain what it is. Even showing it can kind of be hard to show the depth and the flavor and the how alive everything feels until you've done it yourself a few different times. And Isaac was like that too. Isaac was a hard sell for the first like year and a half of its lifetime. When it launched, it did not get great reviews and people didn't get it. And it took quite a while and a lot of people playing it and a lot of people showing people how to play it for it to really catch on. and this might be similar, but I have a great deal of faith in it. And I know when something that I've made is good, and this is the best.
What would you say is the biggest misconception about your work?
Probably that I'm trying to be edgy or mean or whatever. I'm not trying. I'm not trying to do those things. I don't know. There. I found out a few people passed on previewing the game because they thought it was mean, and they did not like the name. And I know that we are living in a time where everybody is very quick to come to a conclusion about something and make it either evil or good. And this game is about figuring that out. And maybe they're being good and evil at the same time. I don't know. But it always kind of takes me aback a bit when somebody just is like, comes up with this kind of like write off of, well, that's gross, or that's weird and controversial and not my thing because of the humor in it or whatever else, and just writes it off and doesn't give it a chance, because I think there's more there than I think people realize. I understand it's not for everybody. I get it. I'm not for everybody, but it does suck to have people kind of knee jerk and be like, are you really going to make that kind of pun with your title, your game? It's like, yeah, that's the fucking point of the goddamn game. Like, it's whatever you assume, whatever you're thinking, the worst things that you're thinking, that's the point. There's a reason. There's a reason for everything I'm doing. I'm thinking about everything. And there's a reason why that pun is the title of the game. And it's out there at this point in time in the world. You know what I mean? To make you wonder and question and play and come to a conclusion. But I absolutely hate, you know, discussing the meaning of my poetry. So I'm not going to like lecture people on why, because it defeats the purpose of me writing this. I could just tell you what I think, you know,
100%.
But that's probably the thing that bothers me the most about that.
I love how active you are answering questions about this game, like being online and giving people time to just answer, like, not like spoilers, but just like the curiosities and stuff. Like, is there a question that you've been asked that's like your favorite question that you've been asked about the game so far?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the most fun one is like, are there any references to the Binding of Isaac in this game? And
yes.
I can tell you that the game is a Binding of Isaac reference. And I don't want to jump on this like, this is Binding of Isaac 2, but the reality is kind of Binding of Isaac 2. And I think that'll become more apparent the more you play, but I don't really want to advertise it like that because people aren't going to really get it either way. But
yeah,
I like when people ask, because then I can be like, just play it, figure it out. I'm excited to see people pick it apart. There's a whole Discord, a fan Discord of people who will meticulously go through every little bit and piece of anything I ever post and try to like figure out the mysteries behind XYZ. And that's really fun because I know that people are paying attention, because there's a lot of stuff in the game that I think a lot of people will skip through and they won't care about, and that's fine. But for those type of people who are really looking to connect dots and figure things out and understand each character in the game, I wrote a lot. I've never really written in a game before, especially dialogue and stuff, but I wrote a tremendous amount. And it's not story as much as it's character development. And with character development comes story in a way, like how do these people connect and what are they talking about? And I really, really enjoyed that. And I didn't think I would enjoy it as much as I did. And I'm excited for people to hopefully enjoy that aspect of the game too, because I don't think I've ever put that in my work.
After a well-deserved break, can I ask whether the Camdrome project will return?
I would like to. I would like it to return. Like, in order for Camdrome to return and be remade, I would need to be working with a film crew and somebody I could trust, because I'm not going to be doing that. So if somebody who I really like, especially sense of humor wise, comes out of the woodwork and is a director or makes films, period, yes, I would entertain that idea and I would definitely go in there. But I don't even know the legalities of using the footage from before. I know that the guy who like helped film it actually passed away. I don't even, and then the actors and stuff that are involved have like kind of moved on to do different things. And they're all like trauma actors. And I don't know. It seems like I think it'd be dangerous to try to reuse old footage, and I don't know who was paid what. I don't know what was going on. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So basically it'd have to be like ground up again.
Yeah. It would have to be a completely new thing. But you know, obviously still an FMV horror game. But yeah, it's definitely one of the fallen IPs that I would love to be able to pick back up and figure out. Either that or like Hitler's Must Die, I think would be really good to do too, but we'll see.
But thank you so much. It's been really nice to talk to you. Like, I don't know, you're just always so open to the community, and I really appreciate that. And I hope that the launch goes well.
Well, thank you. I hope it does too. I hope everybody, I mean, I'm trying, I just want to entertain and have fun. And I was the type of Nintendo fanboy who me and my wife would stay up and do midnight launches when they would do midnight launches for different systems and stuff like that. I really like that fanfare. I like that hype. I like getting excited about stuff, and I like seeing other people excited. So I'm looking forward to it. And I think I'm going to be doing like live streams every single day for the last 14 days. So it'll be interesting.
Wow.
I'm sure I'll come up with other fun ways to interact with everybody and keep it moving.
I'm very excited. Thank you so much, Edmund McMillan, and all the best with your launch.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're listening to Lightmap, interesting conversations with video game creators.
This has been Lightmap, Sifter's interview podcast. My name's Naomi Jackson. Thank you so much for joining me. Please support the show by giving us a rating and review on your favorite podcast player, or head to our socials to show your support and share our work with your friends. Sifter is produced by myself, Fiona Bartholomeus, Kat John, Kyle Poletto, Chris Button, and Adam Christo. Mitch Lowe is senior producer, and Gianni DiGiovanni is Sifter's executive producer and script editor. Thanks to Mina Shamali, who composed the Lightmap theme, and thanks to Audio Technica Australia and Apple for their support of Sifter. We'll catch you on the next episode of Lightmap.